Welcome to Our Life in the Trinity. This is Linda Rex. I'm bringing the sermon for October 2nd, 2022. We're going to begin by reading the text from the New American Standard Bible. It's Luke 17, 5 through 10. And then we'll have a brief prayer. We will talk about our passage for today, have communion together, and then we'll close with the benediction. So if you want to prepare for communion, you can do that now before we get started. So we'll begin with the passage, Luke 17, 5 through 10. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and be planted in the sea," and it would obey you. Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him, when he has come in from the field, "Come immediately and sit down to eat"? But will he not say to him, "Prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink"? He does not thank the slave because he did the things which are commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded you, say, "We are unworthy slaves. We've only done that which we ought to have done." So today's passage, "Lord, increase our faith," is going to be our subject. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can be here together today to look at your word and to listen to what you have to say to us. And we thank you, Jesus, that you're the one that makes all this possible. And thank you for writing your word on our hearts by your Holy Spirit. We pray, Spirit, today you might awaken us to the reality of Christ in us and the life that we have now in relationship with the Father. And we thank you for all these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. So how much faith does it take to move a grown sycamore tree? And Jesus said all you need is the faith as the size of a mustard seed. Now in modern times, we probably wouldn't really think that was such a big deal, because we have the ability to move sycamore trees anytime we want to move sycamore trees, right? Back when I was going to college, I did a work study program the whole time I was there, and my freshman year I worked on the landscaping crew, and I was mostly doing greenhouse indoor plans, but I did other things outside. I have some great stories about that. Then in California, I worked my junior year on the landscape crew. And one of the experiences that I had while I was there was watching them take a grown tree out of the ground and moving it to another location. And what they did was they had this truck, a big truck. They had these huge pincers, and the pincers would go into the ground underneath the tree, effectively cutting it out of the ground. And the tree would tip up over the top of the truck, and then they would drive the tree to the new location, where hopefully they had the hole already, and drop it into the ground. You know, I got to thinking about this whole thing of how much faith it would take to move a sycamore tree, right? The size of a mustard seed. Do you ever think about how much faith we exercise in our everyday lives without thinking about it? We trust in people, machines, systems, organizations. You know, the people who were on that landscaping crew had to trust that the guy telling them to move the tree was telling them the correct tree to move, right? That took a little faith. that he's telling him the correct tree to move, and that the location they were going to put it in was the correct location, right? They had to trust that that was the case, right? And they had faith that when they pushed the button on the truck, the pinchers would move and would go underneath the tree, right? And they had to trust that when they pulled the lever, the tree would back up over top the truck so that they could carry it to its new location. And it took some faith to turn the key in the ignition and believe that when they turned it, the engine would start and the truck would actually run so they could move it. And they had to trust that the wheels on the truck would not all go flat, but it would carry them safely to their new location. You see where I'm going with all this? So there, maybe this wasn't totally what Jesus is talking about, but we do exercise a lot of faith just to do things. Well, I think about the faith involved every time I look up over my head and see another major airplane flying over, carrying hundreds of people. All that weight in the air, how is that possible? It takes a lot of faith to believe that that's going to get from point A to point B. Some people don't have that much faith and they never get on a plane, right? What does it mean, though, to have faith, to trust? And there's some thought about that. I think our faith in things or people or even in God has to do with trustworthiness, doesn't it? We need to know that what we're putting our faith in is trustworthy. Is Jesus Christ trustworthy? We talk a lot in the Christian culture about putting our faith in Christ and trusting in Him and trusting in what He's done. Is He trustworthy, though? Can we count on Him? Jesus seemed to think the Father was trustworthy, didn't He? We see Him on the cross. One of the last things He says is what? Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. He was trusting His Father that He wouldn't stay in the grave, that He would rise from the grave. Of course, being God in human flesh, He was not going to stay in the grave. But we want to place our faith in a God, a triune God who is and has proven to be trustworthy, don't we? When you think about what God has done, you know, from before time began, He knew what He wanted to do, and He wanted to include humans in His relationships, in His life. He created us, He made us, but He gave us the capacity to make our own choices and so on. And He knew, having done that, that we might turn away from our face-to-face relationship with Him and go our own way. And so He promised that He would do whatever it took to make sure we would always be with Him forever. And He has proven Himself to be trustworthy. He intervened from the beginning in human existence, working through people, situations, circumstances, orchestrating things in such a way that He came at the perfect time, at the time He promised. He came and lived our life and died our death and rose again. And He kept His word to send the Spirit, enabling us to participate in the inner relationship between the Father and Jesus and the Spirit. God, the triune God, has promised to be trustworthy, and He has been. Now, we think about the context of this passage we're looking at today. We find that Jesus had been talking to His disciples about forgiving. Forgiving when we don't feel like forgiving when it's hard to forgive, when it's impossible to forgive. And the truth is, we come across these impossible tasks like forgiving people over and over, or trying to be the people God wants us to be, right? And we can't get there. We'd like to be there. We don't have enough faith. It's even impossible for us to have the faith we need to do what we need to do. Some people say, well, Linda, you could be well right now if you just had enough faith. Well, I realize that whatever faith I have comes from God. It's not something birthed within me. So our faith, we find ourselves wanting to have faith. And all we can say is, Lord, increase our faith as we realize our inadequacy. You know, even when we work hard at trying to be good people, and sometimes we try to earn God's favor, don't we? We try to be good enough. And for many people seem to believe that that's the only way they'll end up in heaven, is if they do enough good deeds to fill up the pot, you know, to where God will say, oh, all right, I guess you'll let them in. But that's not how it works. Truth is, we were always meant to live in a certain way. How? To love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and being. Love our neighbor as ourselves, because that's love, right? And we're made in the image of the God who is love, Jesus Christ. That's the truth of our existence. And we find that we can't get there on our own, can we? Jesus tells a story here in this passage that involves a slave and his owner. Now we realize in our culture that this wasn't God's best for human beings. He never meant for us to have slaves. That's what we've done. And he worked within that. Jesus, when he talks about slaves and uses them as examples, he's working within the culture in which he lived. And he didn't feel like it was necessary to resolve that then. He knew by the Spirit it would be resolved eventually, which is why we have today the realization on many levels that slavery is not appropriate. That's not God's will for us. Thinking of that, though, I thought, well, I'll come up with a modern day version of this parable that maybe we can resonate with. I don't know. We'll see. So I was thinking about a college intern. I gave her the name Gracie. And she is working for a fashion designer named Laura. And her goal is one day to maybe Laura might look at her designs and maybe use them, and she could become a successful designer herself. So she's working as an intern for Laurel. And I'm sorry if this sounds like a romantic comedy or something. But anyway, Gracie spends her days fetching Laurel's coffee, running her errands, picking up her dry cleaning, taking care of her everyday tasks for her, and just basically running her errands. Gracie doesn't get paid much. She's an intern, right? And so she's trying to live off her other day job or night job as a waitress at the student union. So, and go to class and so on. So if Gracie, though, is out running errands for Laurel, is the designer going to call her up and invite her over for tea and crumpets and wait on her? Well, no, that's not what their relationship's like. That's not how things are worked out between them. Laura, instead, what probably would be more likely would be Laurel would call Gracie up and say, Gracie, while you're out picking up my dry cleaning, would you stop at my favorite restaurant and pick me up some dinner to go? Bring it with you. And on your way home, stop also at the coffee shop and pick pick me up a double latte with caramel and bring it by. And while you're here, I need you to walk Feathers because she needs to go out. And so Gracie will go by her house and will clean off the coffee table so Laura can have dinner, and while she's eating, take Feathers out for a walk and then make sure she gets her special food and gets her coat combed and so on. And when she gets done, Laurel's not going to give her all kinds of praise and gratitude, because see, that was just Gracie's job. She's just basically supposed to do that. She's her intern. She does her work for her the way she wants it done. So do you see this? Okay. So we think about Gracie and Laurel. Gracie's simply doing what she's supposed to be doing. Do you see that we as human beings, we were created in the image of God, the God who's love, to love God and love one another. That's our way of being, and that's who we are. And yet we find ourselves in the impossible task of doing that, of forgiving people over and over, of loving people the way they need to be loved. We just can't do that. It's like trying to take a sycamore tree and move it to the ocean. We just can't do that. And Jesus says it would take the tiniest bit of faith, size of a mustard seed, infinitesimally small, and we could do it. Do you see? Our faith, whatever faith we have, is only possible through Jesus' death and resurrection. It's his life in us, working in us and through us by the Spirit, which enables us to forgive the way Jesus says for us to forgive, enables us to love the way we are created to love, enables us to walk the life of faith. It's Christ's faith, perfect faith, that enables us to faith. We faith in his faith, right? We trust in his trust. We are trustworthy because he's trustworthy. We believe because he believes. Do you see where I'm going with this? The life of faith begins where? In our trustworthy God and Christ, living our life of faith within us by the Holy Spirit. And it's Christ's life in us that matters. You know, Jesus was saying, you know, the angels rejoice when someone comes home to the Father, right? When we return home to our true selves, that's living in right relationship with God and one another. Oh, yeah, there's got to be a lot of rejoicing in heaven when we return to our face-to-face relationship with the Father through Christ in the Spirit. When we start living in healthy relationship with relationships with one another because of Christ living in us and through us, there's got to be a lot of rejoicing in heaven, because that's where we belong all along, isn't it? That's where God always meant for us to be. And so there's got to be rejoicing, because we're finally back home. And that's, Jesus brought us home. He sends the Spirit so we can start experiencing the joy of being at home with the Father in His Spirit. And part of our rejoicing is we celebrate communion with one another. We come together at the table and we are reminded again of the essentials of our faith. We died with Christ. We rose with Christ. We share in his glory book now and forever. As the gift of the Spirit, Christ has come to live in us and through us by the Spirit, and we celebrate that. Let's pray together, and then we'll take the elements together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for this precious gift. Thank you, Father, that you intended for us to be a part of your life, always and forever. I thank you for all your blessings and gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. So we offered bread, and the night he was betrayed and said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." We thank you, Jesus. And he offered the cup of the fruit of the vine, and he said, "Drink this. This is my blood shed for you." We thank you, Jesus, for pouring yourself out for us. Now may our Heavenly Father kindle afresh in you the gift and treasure of his Spirit of love and faith, making you fearless and unstoppable through Jesus our Lord. God bless you. Love to have you come and join us again at our Life in the Trinity. We'll see you next week. God bless.